Him all praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today, inshallah, we'll start a series of classes which is related to the belief that Allah is the one who regulates, controls, and governs everything in the universe. Actually, these classes, I am calling them the spiritual clinics. And actually, the spiritual clinic is a clinic run by the Creator, the owner, the controller of all the spirits. Allah the Exalted is the one who can cure, heal, and treat all the spirits' problems, as he knows all about it because he is its creator. Inshallah, from today we will start to know how to cure, heal, and treat all our spiritual illnesses: fear, worry, upset, loneliness, sadness, confusion, and depression. It is the reason Allah, the one who guides, supports, helps, provides, forgives, forgets, remove the hardship, listen to our dua and answer it. The one who, when he touches you with harm, none can remove it but he. And if he touches you with good, then he is able to do all the things. The one who grants mercy to mankind, the one to whom belongs all the heavens and the earth, the one who, when he intends a thing, his command is only that he says to it be, and it is. The one who is witness over all the things. Allah, the Lord of my kind, the Lord of mankind, will treat and cure us through his gates of mercy, through the rules of his book, which are, as Allah said about it in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, verse number 82. And we sent down of the Quran that which is a healing and mercy to those who believe. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If you want to read it, let us read about the Quran from Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, verse number 82. Actually, I just want to complete this introduction, okay, by letting you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one to cure and treat all the illnesses. And the medicine in this clinic, which is run by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the medicine is the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book, because the book of Allah is a healing and mercy to those who believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about his book that the Quran is a healing and mercy to those who believe. Okay, in Surah number 17, verse number 82. Accordingly, the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the medicine which will cure and heal all the problems, all the spiritual problems which we have. This is number one. The second medicine is through his messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a mercy to mankind, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah number 21, verse number 107. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not but as a mercy for al-alameen, mankind, jinn, and all that exists. That is to say, through the rules of the Quran and the Sunnah and the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will learn how to understand the truth of life, how to have healthy spirits that can help us to live this worldly life in the best, rightest, peaceful way, and also to have the paradise as our final destination, inshallah. We will start from today to learn how Allah is the only ruler, regulator, governor of all our lives, so that we will have all the trust in His rules, which will cure and heal our spirits. This is actually the introduction regarding the spiritual clinic, which we will start today. And today we will start with the class with the title is The Keys of the Unseen, which only Allah knows. So today, inshallah, we will learn about the keys of the unseen, which only Allah knows. So we can realize the great knowledge of Allah, the exalted, the most great. Allah, the Almighty, said in Surah number 23, verse number 92, a knowledge which every Muslim is supposed to know, inshallah. So let us now read from Surah number 23, verse number 92. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الغيب والشهادة فتعالى عما يشركون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All knower of the unseen and the seen, exalted is He over all that they associate as partners to Him.
Actually, the meaning of the ayah in English, as Cecilia said in that tafsir, is that Allah knower, all knower of the unseen and the seen. This is the English translation. But regarding the exact meaning of the Arabic word of al-ghayb, okay, the ghaib is what is beyond the reach of human perception. This is the meaning of the word al-ghaib. Al-ghaib is what is beyond the reach of human perception. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if we have the exact translation of this ayah, is that Allah is the all-knower of all that is beyond the reach of human perception. Okay, this is al-ghaib, not the unseen. Okay, and الشهادة is what is manifest. Okay, so actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows all of what is beyond the reach of human perception and of what is manifest. Allah exalted is He over all that. Allah is saying that, you know, they are not supposed to associate any partner to Him because He is the only one who knows what is beyond the reach of human perception. The phrase, what is manifest, refers to what people see and what comes to their knowledge. So all the people, okay, they share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the knowledge of what is manifest. Okay, but the phrase, beyond the reach of human perception, means what people don't know. Allah knows all this, both of them. But the statement also has a wider and more profound sense. The sense of beyond the reach of human perception. Allah knows everything in this world, which is seen and experienced. And He knows everything in the worlds beyond, which we know nothing. And actually, let us now try to know more about Allah's knowledge regarding what is beyond the reach of the human perception. And in order to know about this, we will read Surah number 6, verse number 59, which is the topic of the class of today and next week, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعنده مفاتح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو. Actually, this is the statement of the topic of today, and with him are the keys of al-ghayb. Okay, and with him are the keys of al-ghayb. Okay, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. None knows them but he. Okay, so the word Arabic al-ghayb, what is the meaning of al-ghayb in Arabic? Actually, the meaning of the word of al-ghayb in Arabic, it is derived from absence, disappearance, hiding, shielding from people's sense and understanding. Whatever is hiding or shielding or absent or disappearant from the people's knowledge is al-ghayb. Okay, this is to clarify to you that the meaning of word al-ghayb is not only the unseen. Okay, it is what is beyond our perception. Okay, we need to know about al-ghayb because it is an essential element of the Islamic concept of faith, existence and life. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse, and with him are the keys of all that is hidden or what is beyond the human perception, none knows them but he. So the question, logic question will be, why I am supposed to know about this, keys of the unseen or keys of what beyond our perception? In Islam, it is important to have this knowledge, yes. In Islam, it is an essential element of the Islamic concept of faith, Islamic concept of existence, and Islamic concept of life to know about al-ghayb, which is what is beyond the human perception, what we cannot. Why? Because actually now, sisters, I will clarify to you, subhanAllah, a reality which we, most of the Muslims, are not aware of. And the more you know knowledge in Islam, the more you feel very upset that our knowledge about our religion is so limited. To the extent that there is no real connection between us and Islam, between us and Allah, between us and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of lack of knowledge. Now I will tell you a fact which I will not question you, do you know it before or not, because it is a basic fact for the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just I want everyone who is listening to the class or he is attending or she is attending the class to question herself, in reality, I know this fact before that this class or not. Okay. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often describes the believers as those who believe in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. So if you want to say, I am a believer, you must be believing in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. Okay, so in reality, every Muslim is aware that he can't be or she can't be a true believer except when she believes in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. If you don't believe in what lies beyond the reach of human perception, you are not a true believer. So you will tell me, okay, Sister Mona, give me the proof. Okay, I will give you the proof now from the first five verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. You see? Surah Al-Baqarah is the second surah in the Quran, after Surah Al-Fatiha. Okay, if you consider Surah Al-Fatiha surah number one, Surah Al-Baqarah is surah number two. The first five verses of Surah Al-Fatiha are the proof that you must believe in what lies beyond the reach of human perception so that you will be considered a true believer. Are we aware of this fact or not? Let us now read from Surah Al-Baqarah, surah number two, verse number from 2 to 5, inshallah. الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون.
This is the book, the Quran, whereof there is no doubt a guidance to those who are al-muttaqun, the pious believers of Islamic monotheism, who fear Allah much, abstain from all kinds of sins and evil deeds which He has forbidden, and love Allah much, perform all kinds of good deeds which He has ordained, who believe in the ghaib and perform as-salat, iqamat as-salat, and spend out of what we have provided for them, give zakat, spend on themselves, their parents, their children, their wives, etc. Also give charity to the poor and also in Allah's cause. And who believe in that the Quran and the Sunnah, which has been sent down, revealed to you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in that which was sent down before you, the Torah and the Injil, Gospel, and they believe with certainty in the hereafter, resurrection, recompense of their good and bad deeds, praise, paradise, and hell, they are on true guidance from their Lord. They are the successful.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying here, you know, sisters, we all memorize Surah Al-Fatiha, and it is the first surah in the Quran. And then after Surah Al-Fatiha, there is Surah Al-Baqarah. It is Surah Al-Baqarah, which is the longest surah in the Quran. And actually, ever memorize Surah Al-Baqarah, it will be a shield for him from the sun on the day of resurrection. And because of that, actually, it is recommended for those, you know, Arabic speaking mostly, you know, because the reverse sisters, it is very difficult for them to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. Let us be realistic, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge everyone according to his abilities. Arabic speaking are different than reverse sisters whom they just, you know, trying to learn the basics of the Islam. Just I want to clarify about Surah Al-Baqarah that it is the surah which is, if you memorize it, you will have that shield on the Day of Judgment. To clarify how Surah Al-Baqarah is very important to know it and to know its meaning, you know, as believers, inshallah, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started Surah Al-Baqarah with some facts. Okay, number one, The Quran is a book where there is no doubt about it. Okay, this is fact number one. There is no doubt related to the Quran. Number two, it is the guidance to those whom are the righteous people and the pious people. So if you want to have guidance in your life, if you want to be from those whom they are the righteous and the pious, your guidance must be from the Quran. This is, you know, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending for us the medicine for our spirits in the Quran through these rules. When I learn these rules and I believe in these rules will be the cure for me. When you tell me, Sister Mona, what is the guidance for you in your life? I will tell you, my sister, the guidance is the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified that the guidance for the believers and the pious is the Quran. And I want to be one of the believers and the pious. Accordingly, my guidance is the Quran, and this is giving me a lot of spiritual happiness and relaxation, because I am following the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is in charge of my spirit. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified who are the pious and the righteous people whom the Quran is their guidance. Number one, Allah said, those who believe in al-ghayb. You see, how believing in al-ghayb, believing in what lies beyond the human perception, is the most important factor for the believer. If you want to say, I am a believer, you must say, when I tell you, sister, clarify to me how you are a believer, you tell me, Sister Mona, number one, as Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, in verse number 3, I am a believer in al-ghayb, I am a believer in what lies beyond the human perception. This is number one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the salah number two. In spite of the fact that on the Day of Judgment, the first deed we will be questioned about is the prayer, to clarify the importance of the prayer. But in spite of that importance of the prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the belief in what lies beyond the human perception is number one. Okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified also about the characters of those whom they are the righteous and the pious. And Allah clarified that they are those on them is the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them the successful, and they are on true guidance from the Lord. So when I will learn this verse, I will question myself. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the belief in what lies beyond the human perception, which is al-ghayb, the factor number one related to the believers and the pious? You know, this is the question which every believer and every Muslim who recites Surah Al-Baqarah once in life must question himself or herself that question, sisters. Why? Why to believe in al-ghayb, which is beyond, what lies beyond the human perception, is the most important factor related to becoming a believer? The question, the answer, sisters, is that to believe in Allah, limitless is He in His glory, is to believe in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the belief in Allah equals the belief in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. Because it is not possible for human being to comprehend the nature of Allah. when they believe in him, they recognize the results of his actions, but they cannot conceive his nature or what he works. Accordingly, if we say that we are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are true believers, I will ask you, you know, a question. What do you believe in? You tell me, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. I tell you, how you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You tell me, because I believe in al-ghaib. I believe in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. You see, sisters, so every one of us must question herself this question. If I am a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this means that I am a true believer in al-ghaib. That is to say, I am a true believer in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. Accordingly, the belief in al-ghaib is the most important fact which every one of us must know. Because the belief in al-ghaib is number one, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't be a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I don't believe in al-ghaib. You see, sister, this kind of knowledge must every believer have it basically. Basic knowledge, when we want to learn the Quran, when we want to learn the Islam, when we need to learn about our belief, these basic facts must be clear in the spirit, so that the spirit will be aware of what kind of belief I am supposed to believe and what kind of knowledge I am supposed to seek. Not any knowledge, not, you know, just knowledge, Islamic knowledge, and that's it. No, I need to know the basic fundamental knowledge which will make me a true believer, which will make me one of the successful, which will make me the one to have the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, also, the life to come lies beyond the reach of human perception, the hereafter. Everything that relates to the day of judgment, reckoning, reward, and the punishment, all belong to the world beyond. We believe in all these because Allah has told us about them. When someone will ask me, Sister Mona, why you believe in the day of judgment? I tell you, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me about them. That's it. I don't have any other thing to make me to believe that there is a hellfire and there is a paradise and they are already there and this is the quality for the people whom they will be that in the paradise and those who will be in the hellfire and the reckoning and the reward and all of this. I can't believe in this except when I say that Allah told me to believe, and basically I am a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so actually the ghaib, again and again, sisters, I want to you to realize how the belief in al-ghaib, which is what lies beyond the reach of human perception, is very important and is the basic fundamental belief for the believers, so that, you know, you will be keen to know what are the keys of what lies beyond the reach of human perception. Okay, our class today is the keys of what lies beyond the reach of human perception. There are issues which lies beyond our perception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has these keys. So every believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be very keen to know what are these keys of the al-ghaib, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. So because I am a believer in al-ghaib, I am a believer in what lies beyond the reach of human perception, accordingly, I am a believer in Allah and I want to know what keys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have it, because I am a true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Actually, the ghaib which we are required to accept in order to have true faith includes other facts which are mentioned in the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the believers and their faith in the same surah, surah number 2, verse number 285. You see, sisters, again and again, it is the knowledge of the Quran which we are mostly lacking. And because we are mostly lacking the fundamental basic knowledge of the belief, how we can call ourselves true believers? You see, this is the problem. And then we keep on just try to learn about fiqh, how to wash my hands, how to wash my face, how to do this and how to do... Do you have a belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond the reach of your perception? Do you know that to believe in paradise and hellfire is a basic requirement to become a believer, and you can't believe in it except when you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghaib? You see, this is how our spirits can start, you know, to be a healthy spirit. when you give her all the knowledge which the spirit is in need of, so that, you know, she would start to have the trust in the only power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now we will read in surah number 2, verse number 285, to know about, you know, the faith which we are required to have so that we become true believers. We will read now from surah number 2, verse number 285. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير.
Okay, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam believes in what has been sent down to him from his Lord, and so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah, his angels, his books, and his messengers. They say, "We make no distinction between one another of his messengers," and they say, "We hear and we obey. We seek your forgiveness, our Lord, and to you is the return of all."
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying here that to be a believer, you must believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, His angels, His books, and His messengers. Okay, and also sisters, in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must also believe in the Day of Judgment and in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the good and the bad. The definition of belief in Islam is to believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, to believe in His books, to believe in His messengers, and to believe in the Day of Judgment, and to believe in Allah's decree, the good and bad. All are ghaib. All are beyond the reach of human perception. So I cannot be a true believer except when I believe in al-ghaib. What is the meaning of al-ghaib? I believe in all what lies beyond my perception. Why you believe in? Because I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who told me about all of this in His book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of the al-ghaib, which is beyond the reach of human perception. Okay? Every believer also must believe that Allah has revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which includes some knowledge of al-ghaib, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Allah imparts to him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in a measure which Allah determines. Okay. Also, we must believe in the angels. It is a part of believing in them, because we only know about the angels which Allah has chosen to tell us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they clarified to us that the angels are creatures, they are created from the light, and they are just created to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, the angels are only creatures from light, doing only the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is to say, full obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we are supposed to learn about the angels, because this is what Allah and His Messenger informed us. In addition, we have to believe in Allah's will and its operation. This is also part of al-ghaib. Part of al-ghaib is to believe that this life is run by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know anything about it, but we must believe in it. Man is surrounded with imperceptibles in every direction. Part of this relates to him, to time. For example, to time, past time, present time, and future. Events that happens in the past or in the present or in the future, we don't know anything about it. Okay? Another part exists within man itself. Okay, for example, if I ask you, sister, are you sure that your kidney is a healthy one? You tell me, inshallah, sister Mona. I tell you, but I think that you look that your kidney is not healthy. Go and make some investigations and come back and tell me about your kidney. For example, it happens that you come back and tell me, subhanallah, sister Mona, they told me that one of my kidneys is not working. I tell you, you see, Even about yourself, you don't know anything. Even about your body, there are some organs in your body which the knowledge of it is beyond your perception. Subhanallah. This is actually is always happening, you know, when someone will have, for example, suppose I have, for example, an abdominal pain. Suddenly. Then they told me that I have appendicitis. And they decide to make for me an operation to remove the appendix. While I am in the operating room, they discover that I have only one kidney. Subhanallah. If I don't have this appendicitis, I will never know about that, you know, I have only one kidney. I was living my life under the impression that I have two kidneys. Okay? So even my body is ghaib for me. Beyond the reach of human perception. Subhanallah. This is, sisters, how you have to realize that we don't know anything about al-ghaib. Most of the life is beyond the reach of human perception. Subhanallah. Which I will clarify to you now. This is how you have to, you can get the spirit closer to the only one who knows what is life beyond the reach of human perception. This is how your spirit will be so relaxing when I tell you, sister, after some classes, now try to feel how your spirit now is so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your spirit will become gradually so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more your spirit realizes how it is weak and has no knowledge, and at the same time, Regina, for the sake of Allah, because you know, whenever a child will cry, you know, the sound of the child will be here. Okay, and you know, I am distributing this now, alhamdulillah, all over the world. Just if you can try to make them to calm down a little bit. Okay? Yes! Why you didn't send them to school?
We just came to the country.
She's so young.
You just came?
I'm living in a hotel.
Up till now? So tell me, so, okay, let me hold on and talk with you for some time.
Then, I'll leave you my number. I'm going to go with you.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. No, Regina, I don't want you to be upset. No, no, sit down for some time. No, let us talk together since you come. No problem. No. Sister, just give me 5 minutes.
Because she just arrived from Saudi Arabia. You know, the problem is that
she was there.
That's
for
what I heard.
She's come back.
Huh?
She was here before she went to Saudi, now she's back. She was coming to this class.
You're selling cookies too? Are you selling cookies too?
She doesn't have any more lemon though. She only has
you don't have lemon cookies?
Sorry. I asked her right when you said you want lemon, so I texted her. I said, hey, do you have any more lemon?
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and she said she only had one.
What about, let's see, mint?
Yeah, mint, yeah.
Her name is Yat.
You know, when she was telling the story about sometimes that we don't know, you know, my son, when he was 5 months old, we had to admit him. But I will be in the morning at the hospital because he had a very high fever. And over there, and it happened that he had a kidney infection. And that's why he was hospitalized. And the doctor told me he will be out in 2 days. While he was there, they discovered that he had a congenital heart disease when he was there. Yes, and because of that, 5 weeks later, he was having open heart surgery.
5 months. He was 5 months old?
No, I'm sorry, he was 4 years.
4 years old, okay.
Yeah. Wow. 5 weeks later, he was having open heart surgery.
Yeah, doctors are not, you know, they don't know.
They know, according to the, this is a human scientific, you know, yes. We improve with the time.
Yes.
And so many things were good, say, 50 years back. Now they according to the knowledge.
No, but the point, the point that I want to make is that he was hospitalized for
something else. And they found something.
And then the doctor said, you know, I hear something like, I hear that he's... Yes.
Yeah.
And say, you know, I hear something, you know, his heart, he has a murmur. And it's probably a non-functional one, but just in case, we will just check that he's here. Now he's here, we're going to, you know, don't do some extra exams. So she was telling me, like, don't worry, it's probably nothing, but it's better to check. And
yeah, that's what happened once I was in Pakistan. I was, like, maybe 19, 20 years old. I have very bad symptoms. Okay. I went to the dentist, was, you know, well qualified from America, I understand. And he told, it was very painful. I told him, please extract my tooth.
It's very painful.
You know? And he gave me medicine and everything. And he told me, never extract your teeth. Because you are so young at this time, you don't know. Later on, it will be a lot of problem because it will be a cosmetic problem if you start. Because, you know, even though the function is not known, it's not good idea to extract the tooth. And he gave me some medicine and it went away and that's it.
So they didn't take it out?
No, he did not take it out. Because he said he could do it without taking out.
Okay.
Then I came here one time and I have very bad pain. I went to the doctor. He said he will extract the wisdom teeth.
Oh, really?
Then I told him the same story doctor told me in Pakistan.
I like
to dress. You know, that it is for the cosmetic. Even for cosmetic reasons, you don't need to do it. But he said, you know, the problem is disease starts with this
infections and things like that.
So better to extract it. So he extracted it. Like here, you know, we extract so quickly, even at the age of 22, 25.
Like maybe if you have a
wisdom teeth.
Yeah.
I don't know now, but at that time, I
monitor here so she can listen.
Maybe 25
years back.
Yeah,
she
does that with her baby.
Yeah. I'll tell her how to use the monitor.
Okay.
That's such a smart idea.
Yeah, that way.
So you can be in the masjid and playing with your baby, and you can still hear.
Sure. She's how many months? 9 months? Okay, her teeth are coming out. See, she looks 21. Oh, what?
She makes me crazy.
Oh, yeah. It hurts them, though. It's not her fault.
She's crying that she don't want to eat anything.
Yeah.
So what her name is?
It's Ruwaleen.
Ruwaleen?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Ruwa is the vision.
Okay.
Ruwaleen.
Yeah.
Ruwaleen.
It's a tree in the paradise.
Yes. It's a time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now I got two cookies I got to sell
still. What happened? What are you from?
She didn't get it because she wanted me.
Oh.
Yeah, I was done with her, but.
You just want her
cookies. Sister, would you still want to buy a cookie?
She's got more variety.
Oh, man, look at my customer's car.
And it's
going
to be fine.
Oh, that's
very
sad.
At the
Masjid Al Mira,
right? She put an ad in for the. Oh,
she needed it.
What is your phone number? 832
922
36 25. Okay, I'll tell you on
Hadi.
Okay, Regina, give me your phone number. Oh, Lily, I have to tell you something.
Amen. My best friends in Cuba are Egyptians. My best friends.
Okay, Regina, I will call you tonight. Okay, I will call you. I am very sorry, sisters. Let us continue the class.
Maybe we'll have a special class for
you. Inshallah. Oh, alhamdulillah, she sold all the biscuits.
That's how I've taken all her customers. That's how I have more variety.
Alhamdulillah, you sold the biscuits. Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
I'm sorry, you hustling me. Oh my goodness.
What are you
doing?
The $3.50 each. That's what? $7? She bought two boxes, right? She bought one.
Yeah, I bought one.
But what
kind of
change?
I was
going to say, if she bought two, she
can
give me the money.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No problem. Now we will continue the class and then you check about the money. Let the class be before the money, sisters.
Okay.
You won't start it.
Because, no, actually, because she just arrived. She was out for 2 years. And, you know, because of her kids.
I was telling an example that my son, when he was small, he was hospitalized because he had kidney infection. And over there, they discovered that he had open congenital heart disease.
You see? They corrected for him.
And they had to correct it.
See? This is the hype, which we will discover now.
We was hospitalized for something, and, you know, we discovered
it
something much more serious.
Like this. This is the mercy of Allah. Okay.
Did you finish the one?
From the
village. Okay. Inshallah, Regina, I will call you tonight, inshallah. Okay. Okay, now. Okay, I will record. The Quran states that the knowledge man has been given is scanty, but sufficient for man and appropriate for his potential. The imperceptible and the nature of Islamic faith. Let us know what is the relation between what is imperceptible and the nature of Islamic faith. The Quran, the basic source of Islamic faith, states very clearly that there is a world beyond the reach of human perception. Okay? This is the world of Al-Ghaib. A world beyond the reach of human perception and another world that can be perceived. Not everything around man is al-ghaib. Okay, not everything. There are some things which we know and there are a lot which we don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man the power to know this much of the laws of the universe and to manipulate these forces in accordance with these laws. He will then be able to accomplish his mission and to make use of the potentials of the earth and promote life. And comes to this world against will. And without any prior knowledge of his arrival here. He departs from it unwillingly and without any prior knowledge of his departure time. This applies to every living thing. No matter how much man increases his knowledge, this will remain the same. The Islamic mentality is a scientific one, and it believes in the imperceptible, because science recognizes the imperceptible and accepts its existence. I will clarify to you now the relation between scientific and imperceptible. It is useful to know about the scientist's point of view regarding Al-Ghaib. Remembering that man has only been given scanty knowledge, an American scientist said, science is tested knowledge, but it is still subject to human illusions and inaccuracies. It is legitimate only within the rules of its own area. It is rigidly restricted to quantitative data for prescription and prediction. I will clarify to you all of this actually because I was working with all of this. It begins and ends with probability, not certainty. Its results are approximations, subjects to probable error, especially in measurements and correlation. Its products are modified frequently by new data. The scientists always say, up to the present, the facts are so and so. Actually, I need to clarify to you this, sister, so that your spirit will believe and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing the human being for some knowledge, very scanty one, okay, and whatever knowledge the human being, especially the scientists, are trying to learn and to prove, it is still human knowledge. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to know a special knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow them for it. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that another knowledge is supposed to be hidden from them, supposed to be ghaib for them, beyond their perception, none can be able to reach it. Again, the scientific knowledge are knowledge which are related to the possibility of errors. Because It is always, as I clarified, the knowledge is up to the present time. Okay? This sums up the nature of all scientific conclusions. Let us apply this conclusion to the treatment of cancer. Actually, I was working with this and with some research related to treatment of cancer in children, and this was 20 years ago. Okay? Actually, you will notice that it is always new drugs discovered. 20 years ago, they discovered some drugs, and they were under the impression that these drugs will cure leukemia and some of the lymphomas and some of kinds of sarcomas. And actually, we have these drugs because I was working in a referral hospital, university hospital, and we were trying these drugs because these kids, the kids whom we tried these drugs for, they were considered to be terminal cases. And because they are terminal cases, this means that they are about to die very soon because the actually cancer was spread all over in their bodies. Actually, we were allowed to use these drugs as a trial. Maybe it will save them, maybe it will not have any effect. This was at that time. No one is sure, 100% of the medicine, it will be a curable or not. And actually, these medications were used maybe for 10 years. Nowadays, sometimes I check with my colleagues about what medicines are used. Actually, they are telling some of them prove to be good ones, the other prove to be with very high side effects, and they were not allowed to be used. And up till now, there is no cure for cancer. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that He will allow the human being to reach the cure for cancer or not. Nobody knows. The cure for cancer now is still ghaib. What is the meaning of ghaib? Beyond the reach of human perception. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows how to cure cancer. So, as believers, as Muslims, we must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing the mankind to have some to knowledge of the rules which he can operate in the worldly life, which he can make the life easy for him. But other than this, there are some curtains related to other knowledge which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So this means that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you will realize that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the light of recent discoveries and experiments, scientific goes hand in hand with imperceptible. What truly contrasts with the believing in what lies beyond the reach of human perception is ignorance. Sometimes you meet some people whom they consider themselves very, very highly sophisticated scientists, and when you tell them, do you believe in al-ghaib, that there are some knowledge which lie beyond the reach of human perception, they tell you, no, never. We never believe. We believe that we can reach everything. We need more time, we need more money, we need more equipment, but we are sure we will reach. This is equal to total ignorance. Why? Because it is a sort of ignorance which is not acceptable, you know, in the 21st century. Because the more they have experience, the more in reality they can't reach, you know, the mission which they are looking for. Years and years, actually you have to know that billions and billions of dollars are spent in MD Anderson. Okay, my husband is working there and he had very big research there which is costing millions of dollars. And still it is error and, you know, possibilities and theories, and let us try the medicine and maybe it will be effective, but we need to try it. It needs a lot of years, so only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but let us try and try. It is a trial of the human being, you know, to have the knowledge. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I always clarify this to him. I tell him, Muhammad, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide to make you and your team to reach, you know, the reality, the best medicine to treat this kind of pain, it is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. try your best, because in this life we must try all the means, but we must keep in mind that there is some knowledge which is beyond the reach of human perception. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the man to know it up to Allah's will, not up to the institution or the physicians or the qualifications or the equipment or anything. Okay, this. So accordingly, actually, I want to clarify to you these sisters, because we must believe that in the Islamic mentality combines believing in what lies beyond the reach of human perception, the secrets of which are known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the belief in the constant laws of nature. There are constant laws of nature, okay, which are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are allowing mankind to know so that we can control life. But while I am a believer in the constant laws of nature, I am also, as a Muslim, I am a believer in what lies beyond the reach of human perception. I also must know that scientific conclusions are of limited scope and are liable to error. Whenever you have any medicine, try to read. Okay, on the medicine, every medicine, they have to tell you these are the side effects of that medicine. So this means that still there is an error related to that production. But this is the best which they can reach. They cannot get a medicine without any side effects, because this is the mark of the human. The mark of the human is always with mistakes and with, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with errors. Okay? You never find any medicine which has no side effects. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Limited knowledge of the mankind, still, you know, there is what lies beyond the reach of our perception only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person believes in al-ghayb, what lies beyond the reach of human perception, he elevates himself to the rank of a man who realizes that the universe is far greater and wider than the limited scope of his senses. Therefore, he recognizes that beyond all this existence, there is a great truth, namely the Supreme Being, who gives the universe its existence. Believing in imperceptible is the point which signals the elevation of man high above the world of animals. You see, sisters. So, if there is any scientific man who is having very high position, and a lot of excellent qualifications from the best universities in the United States, and he is not believing in what lies beyond the reach of human perception, he is not more than an animal. Which I give it now is related to the belief in what lies beyond the human perception. There are some people nowadays, they don't believe in this. Okay, they say, no, man can reach everything. Okay, they are not believers, even if they are Muslims by name, and they are not more than an animal, according to the Islamic, point of view. This is number one. Number two, science is good, but science is knowledge, or scientific experiments are good. Okay, but while you are doing the experiments, while you are looking for treatment, while you want to improve humanity, be a believer that still there are many things beyond the reach of human perception. Don't be under the impression that if I have everything, you know, as I clarified, the best institution and the best, equipment and everything, I can have all the knowledge. You know, you cannot have all the knowledge, because still there is knowledge which is beyond the reach of human perception. Mankind know your limitations, you know. Believe in the science, yes, but at the same side to side, I believe in what lies beyond the human perception. We have limitation. This is what I want to clarify, inshallah, before I tell you about the keys of the unseen, which are the topic of today, inshallah. So now the question is, what are the keys of the unseen which are mentioned in surah which we just read now, Surah Al-An'am, verse number 59. Ibn Umar said, the messenger of Allah said, the keys of the unseen are five, which no one knows except Allah. And then he reads Surah number 31, verse number 34, where the keys of the unseen are mentioned. Let us now read Surah Luqman, Surah number 31, verse number 34. And again, sister, the keys of the unseen are in the Quran, mentioned in the Quran.
Surah number, unseen?
Yes, yeah. The keys of the unseen. Okay, but mostly we Muslims are not aware of these keys of the unseen. Okay, because we don't know this hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he said that the keys of the unseen are five. They are actually number one. Verily, Allah with him is the no. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت. Surah number 31, verse number 34. Surah number 31, verse number 34. Verily, Allah with him is the knowledge of the hour. He sends down the rain and knows that which is in the wombs. No person knows what he will earn tomorrow, and no person knows in what land he will die. Verily, Allah is all knower, all aware. Subhanallah. See, this verse number 34 of Surah number 31 is the final note in that Surah Luqman. Actually, it is a powerful and awesome note, as it describes Allah's perfect and comprehensive knowledge, contrasting this with our own limited knowledge. As human being will stand before these covers, the keys of the unseen, acknowledging our weakness and limited knowledge. These covers include the last hour that seems so distant, rain which originates far away, wombs and their hidden contents, what is earned tomorrow, which is close in time, yet remains unknown, and our place of death and burial, which is driven away in our thoughts as we are over busy with our deceiving worldly life. In this verse, we stand in front of locked doors, which only Allah has its own keys, and it belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, sisters, I will mention to you in some details about these five keys of the unseen, and inshallah I will clarify to you in great detail the next class. But just I want you again to remember them. Allah the Almighty has chosen to keep the knowledge of the last hour to himself. None knows it other than him. It is Allah who sends down the rain in accordance with his wisdom and in the measure that he chooses. Allah is the only one who knows with absolute certainty what wombs contain at every moment and in every stage, the features of the fetus, its characteristics and future ability. No one knows what will happen to them tomorrow, good or bad, benefit or harm, ease or hardship, health or sickness, obedience to Allah or disobedience. Similarly, no one knows in what land they will die. Such knowledge is kept sick blinds, which can't be penetrated by hearing or seeing. These are the keys of the unseen, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows them. It is Him, Allah, our Lord, the Creator of the spirits. He has bestowed this Quran to us, which will heal our spirit, provide guidance, and bring mercy to believers. Inshallah, next week we will learn in details about the keys of the unseen, how the mercy of Allah is beyond our imagination. Let us now make the dua, inshallah. Allah, our Lord, inspires good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favor upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until their death. See you inshallah next week. Today maybe we are late.